Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we're just now going to get into the Word of God. I thank you for the Word of God because our whole ministry is based on the Word. I thank you when Jenny Grimes gave me that song years ago, that we've stuck to the very purpose of what she said in that Word. And so, Father, today as we approach the throne of your Word, may we give it respect for what is due, because it is living and powerful and active. Amen. We've been talking about doubt and how doubt has more of a damaging effect than what people realize. Doubt has instantaneous results. It don't wait over a period of time. It instantly begins to work against our faith. We can have an understanding of faith. We even know how faith works, but doubt can come in and remove the working of our faith. And sad to say is many of you have actually called and communicated with me and talked to me about situations in your life. And just recently, some of the words that you've heard preaching on doubt came out of your mouth and you said you're not in doubt. That's how deceived we can be, self-deceived. We can't even recognize that doubt is at work within our own heart unless we really examine ourselves before the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God has to be a self-examining thing. That's what we were bringing out in Mark chapter 4, I think it was Wednesday night, that it says there was some people who had received the Word of God, but afterwards when affliction and persecution came their way, it said immediately they were offended for the Word's sake. You see, when you sit under the Word of God, you've got to realize one thing, that when you sit under the Word of God, you've immediately called your adversary to your side. He's not going to leave you alone. How many of you have got that revelation by now? I mean, he's going to do everything he can to remove you from what truth is. You have to be tough about it. You have to be willing to press in with everything that is within you to stand that ground. Because at verse 16, it says they received the Word of God. They heard it, received it. It said they received it in their heart. But when you go down to verse 20, it says they received the Word of God and they brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And so I got to, that confused me for a long time. Why do some are easily taken out where others seem to bear the fruit of it? Well, the secret is the ground. It said the ones who had first received the Word of God, they received it on hard ground. There was nothing soft about them. Even though they heard the Word of God, they received it, but there was a hardness in them that was unwilling to bend when the Word of God came forth in their life. How do I know that? It's how they received the Word of God. The word there in verse 16 of Mark 4, received, is lambano. It means you simply happened to be at the right place at the right time when the sower was sowing the Word of God. You did nothing about seeking for the Word of God. You did nothing even to want to be there. You just happened to be there, and the Word of God fell on you, and it was thrown on you, and you received it with gladness. But because if you're hard ground, that seed won't take any root in you. And if a seed does not take root in your ground, guess what? You will not bear fruit. You'll only hear it, but you won't be a doer of it. A lot of people think doing the Word of God is out of the convenience of your life. I got news for you. When you perform the Word of God, when you do it, it's out of the trials of your life. And so the word for receive in verse 20 is a different Greek word for the word receive that you find in verse 16. The one in 16 means it was thrown on you and you agreed with it, but afterwards when affliction and persecution came into life, you fell apart like a cheap watch. But in verse 20, that's a different word for the word received there. It is not lambano. It doesn't mean something was thrown on you. The word there is paradekomai, which literally means that you had went to a specific place to receive a specific word so that you could take that specific word and put it alongside yourself. You see, a lot of us are hearing the Word of God, but we're hearing it where somebody else should be receiving it. You're to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're responsible for what you hear with the Word of God, not somebody right next to you. You're accountable for the Word of God, not somebody else. You have to take that Word. You have to parallel it alongside yourself. And if you don't match up to the Word, adjust your life. Don't be a hireling. A hireling is a person that will take the Word of God and expect everybody else to match up to their revelation of the Word of God. That ain't going to happen, Jack. You're living in a nightmarish infatuation of a worldly walk. You cannot walk like that and expect to get anywhere with the Word of God. You've got to listen up, you got to pay attention, and you got to parallel it to yourself. I don't know how many times over the years that John and I have heard that statement. Well, I know all that. But. Well, I know all that. But. But what? But what? Always, you know, everybody's got a but. It's all according to how you're thinking right now. But this and but that. Well, the Word of God doesn't have a but this and a but that. We've got to have the Word of God talks to you personally. And you're the one that has to bear the fruit. Oh, he's real spiritual. Where's his fruit? Show me his fruit and I'll tell you how spiritual he is. Now we've been talking about doubt and how it has instantaneous effects. You can be a person loaded with the understanding of faith. You can talk faith. You can do everything you can. But if you don't have the fruit of your faith on your tree, it don't matter what you say. It's not there. Spiritual growth is different from natural growth. Natural growth is supposed to follow spiritual growth. Not natural growth having your spirit follow it. That don't work. It's a negative effect. You ever try to charge a battery by putting both terminals on one post? Some people do that in their life. They stick both the terminals together on one post and expect to get a charge out of it. We brought out that doubt creates four areas in our life. The groundwork is, first of all, seeing. More doubt comes from what people see than anything else. Our faith is not made of things which are seen. Number two, reasoning. This is where they incorporate spiritual insight with sense knowledge. Then number three is where questionings begin to come in. When a person starts questioning why they're not seeing the results of what, you're already in doubt. You're already in doubt. And then comes self-evaluation, mostly always from a negative side. You believe the Word of God and you believe, so the reason you're not getting your results, it must be you. And so you come from a negative viewpoint. Well, what are you going to do about it anyway? What can you do to improve on your faith that God has already did His best to complete it and approve it for you? What more are you going to do? And then, of course, the fifth area is you move from a position that God has provided for you because now logic has taken over. I thank God for the Shunammite woman. God had gave her a word that she could have the fruit of her own womb. And she told the servant to the prophet, "Don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to me." Right. Servant, I ain't going to have a kid. So the story goes that in the process of time, the boy died. You know what she did? She told, first of all, her husband, "Shut up." Some guys just try to think things through with their head. She grabbed that boy, and you know where she took him to? Not his bedroom. She took him to the prophet's room and laid his body there. Why? That's where she had received the Word of God from that man. And she had provided that room for that man, so seeing how that man had a room provided for, she took what God had told her son, and put it in that very room. She goes and saddles up a donkey and gets a guy to run ahead for her, and they go looking for the man of God. And finally, the man of God up on the hill sees her coming and says to his servant, go find out what she's got, if she's okay and everything. And so the servant yelled back to Isaiah, all is well. All is well. That was the same thing the woman said to her husband and everybody else when they left. All is well. But when she got to the man of God's feet, she fell to her knees, and her soul was vexed within her. Here she had a vexed soul, but a good confession. The man of God told me what I was going to have. I came to the man of God, and he's going to keep his word. That's the way we need to get sometimes. And this stupid old head will go to fussing and fretting and doubting. You just got to ignore it. Shut it up. I'll tell you, your carnal mind is the biggest flappingest, it's got the biggest flappingest jaws on the face of the earth when you start moving by faith. Because the carnal mind is only guided by sensual knowledge. Now, what little time I have left before I wear myself out. And I thank the Lord that I have today to finish this message, seeing how nothing happened yesterday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over the years, Sue can tell you, even little Lindsay, little baby girl, over the years we've had plenty of times for doubt. Isn't that right? Begin to wonder if he was even going to finish the course. Hallelujah. But even though we've had doubt over the years, I've been able to pull out of those doubtful places by one means, and I want to share it with you. You've heard it before, but you know what? You might have heard it, but you're not doing it. What is the safest place to go to get rid of doubt and fear? What is the safest place to go? Where is it to be? Well, I found out a place that I can go and find a rest and get refreshed. And it is called praying in tongues. Amen. Now, I don't care what you've heard about tongues. I know that over the years, beyond 25 years, well, since 1971, Sue and I started speaking in tongues, and I have never once ever abandoned my language. Because I've learned some things over the years, and thank God that the Lord had led me to a wonderful man of God, Dave Roberson, my friend. And out of his mouth always came speaking in tongues. And the pattern of his life and the insight and the impact of praying in tongues so astounded me that it fired me up to keep doing it myself. So I stuck with it. And I thank God to this day for that precious heavenly language. I detest people who speak against speaking in tongues. I really detest that attitude. You can take that attitude to the toilet and flush it, as far as I'm concerned. Because speaking in tongues is something that a man of God that is supposed to be called in the fivefold ministry, they should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or as far as they're going to go with you is through their intellect. And that'll put a ceiling on you. You can't afford to sit under an intellectual nutcase for ministry. It has to be someone who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, who speaks in other tongues and does it in their church. And not hide it. Now, in Proverbs chapter 20, go to verse 5. Proverbs 20, verse 5. And I'm going to speak out of the King James. And the reason I'm covering this area about doubt is because this is the area that has literally strengthened me through doubtful times. It's when I've gotten along with my Lord and couldn't figure it out with my natural mind and just begin to pray in the Spirit. And you know what? You've got to experience to appreciate it. And then in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. These are the verses that I quote almost daily when I speak in tongues. I quote these before the Father, and I acknowledge to Him how these verses have so helped me over the years. And so, this is one of them I quote. Now, turn over to Isaiah 50, verse 4. I love this one. This is the one John Cook gave me a long time ago. And I keep going back over it, and I thank God for John pointing it to me. But I connect with Scripture. People, I don't connect head-wise. I connect with my spirit. I connect with my spirit, not my head. My head will receive anything. It's my spirit that sustains me. In Isaiah 50, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. I like that Hebrew word for that word learn there. It means instruction. The tongue of an instructor. He has given me a language, a tongue of an instructor. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned or the instructed. Boy, I pray in tongues a lot. I pray in tongues a lot. Hallelujah. Now, with that said, go to Isaiah 28. Go back some. In Isaiah 28. In Isaiah 28. I love this one. Look at verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Oh, hallelujah. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Why? Because they don't use the stammering lip, the tongue of the learned. They just get it in their head. Glory to God. Glory to God. I love my prayer language. I love my prayer language. I love my prayer language. I love it. I thank God for it. And I'm going to make a bold statement. I have known people that have come to our church, have been a part of our ministry, have been involved in departments, and never once wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not one of them wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? 100% of them are not here now. You want to know why? Because they were limiting their ability to move forward with the Spirit of God. You don't see them today. Where are they? I followed up on a few of them. They're in the world. They're back in the world. Why? Because when you start praying in other tongues, you start having a prayer life with that prayer language, guess what? You won't stay stupid for very long. You know what? I'm convinced that many of them who started praying in tongues got to a place where they got tired of it. They got weird feelings, vibrates, and this isn't of the Lord, and just abandoning it. Well, you don't want to know why? They came up to the impasse of themselves. And God wanted to take them beyond themselves. And they didn't go beyond themselves. Stayed stupid and walked back out. Huh. He said in verse 9 here of Isaiah 28, this is how he will teach knowledge and make to understand doctrine those who will pray in a wonderful, wonderful language. So now, if you will, go to Jude 3. Jude 3. And I have to go over these scriptures every once in a while to wash myself with the refreshing of it. In Jude 3, "Beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And Rick Renner, he finally broke this verse down in such a wonderful way because he knows how the Greek works and the structure of this verse. And he said, what he was actually telling you there was not so much miracle power, but the common faith or the mind that was delivered to the apostles, that same mind be delivered to you. Now, with that thought in mind, you know what Jude does? He goes on and he tells you how to build your most holy faith. Where is your most holy faith found, people? Where is it found? Is it found in your head? Where doubt and unbelief is? No, it's found in your spirit. And so when you're speaking in that language, you're not speaking in a language that your head has to know something about. You're speaking in a language that your inner man, your spirit man, by the Holy Spirit has given you that language so your spirit can pray out to God on His level of understanding, not your head. It's amazing. You can go on the internet. I forgot who was telling me. It said, you can't find anybody in there talking on praying in tongues. You can talk. They can talk about George Washington, but they don't talk about praying in tongues. I said, well, who does? Two people. I said, who are they? Dave Roberson and you. Is that all? Well, I'm hoping that more young ministers get a hold of this, start praying in tongues, and start getting it out on the internet. Start flooding the internet with speaking in other tongues because of the power that is behind that language. Now, why do you think in Acts chapter 2 they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Remember when I read to you out of the Archco volumes? Those historical records that have been preserved for thousands of years. One of those Caiaphas was giving to the Roman rule, Sanhedrin court, why he had to step down, or no, why he had to crucify Jesus. One of the things that he said that prompted them to crucify Jesus is because Jesus was saying that if he doesn't leave, the Holy Spirit can't come. And they said that is a violation of the knowledge because the Holy Spirit's been here since Genesis. So Jesus is whacked. Well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus meant by the Holy Spirit coming. He wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon earth, coming upon man to do things. He was talking about the Holy Spirit coming and would enter a man's heart and reside within a man to affect his spiritual mind. So they didn't understand that. In John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on a few of the apostles, received the Holy Spirit. This was after his resurrection. He could do that. So they had a sneak preview of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, because after resurrection, that was available. That's why it's very clear in John chapter 14 when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming. Well, if he was already here, why would he even bring up that issue in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16? If he was already here. Well, he was here, but he wasn't in the heart of a man. See. Now, we have ministers argue about Acts chapter 2 saying the reason they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost with cloven tongues of fire is so they could preach to those nations in their tongue. People, that is garbage. That is not understanding the purpose of the day of Pentecost. The purpose of the day of Pentecost was to show you there's a different, distinct, separate act of a baptism of the Holy Ghost, not just get born again. One Christian was telling me he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, well, how do you know? Do you speak in tongues? He said, oh, no, I've been told not to speak in tongues. I said, well, how do you know that you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He says, when I pray, And I get these goosebumps all over me. And I just have a feel. You know what I did? I didn't argue with him. I shut my mouth because I didn't want him to believe that he doesn't have the Holy Spirit with him. If he thinks the baptism of the Holy Spirit is Holy Ghost goosebumps, then where in Scripture does it say when he baptizes you in the Spirit, you get Holy Ghost goosebumps? And why did certain things happen in the book of Acts where Peter and John and them were clearly defined after they had received the baptism of Jesus Christ? They were sent there because they had heard they had not received the Holy Ghost, for he had not come on any of them. You see, there's a distinct and separate act. You have to make your mind up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, and most people that cannot get past into the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they got their sense knowledge head in the way. Right. Yeah. You come up and you lay hands on, and then the first thing you tell them, now, when tongues start coming out from the inside of you, speak them out your mouth. Okay, Holy Spirit, come upon them. Speak them out. I stop and say, can you talk in English? Well, of course. Then talk in a language you don't understand. You know what their head does? Yeah. You know why? Because you're thinking with your intellectual head. You know what your intellectual head thinks? How can you think something you... So you know what you have to do? Like I did. I was so obsessed with wanting the Holy Spirit that I left church. And when I was at church, I wanted the baptism so bad, I made my mind up. I'm going to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what anybody says. And I went down forward and I knelt down and I said, God, send somebody along to lay hands on me and get me filled with baptized in the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, this elderly lady came down, sat down next to me, put her hand on my back, and screamed out loud in tongues. And I'm sitting there listening to her. And I don't know if she spoke the same language I just spoke, but man, I'm sitting there. She got up. Walked away. And I'm... So in my car, I was driving home. As I'm driving home, I'm thinking about her language. It's just running through my mind. I'm thinking about it. And as I'm sitting there thinking, I went, you stupid. Oh, God, forgive me. I spoke out the tongue that I shouldn't have. It was on my own. Oh, I was just miserable. I did that. I did that because I had in my mind that when I speak in other tongues, there is a glow that will begin to get on my tongue and it'll be like jolts of electricity and somebody will take my tongue and go... So sure enough, what does God do? He sends a whole group from our church Sunday night. It was Sunday night to our house. And this wonderful little sweetheart, she attended our church a few times, but she went on home to be with the Lord, Emma Pengrass. She sat there and told her experience about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Me and my two brothers and my little Sue, we were all sitting there listening to her testimony. I got so hungry. And Vernie, my cousin Vernie, he's a strong Baptist Pentecostal, sitting on this chair. And so Emma looked up. She said, do you guys all want to receive the baptism? I go, So a few of the people got up and laid hands all over my head. I couldn't see out between their fingers. And all of a sudden, tongues just started flowing out of me. Just flowing out of me. My brother Bob was in the hallway and tongues just started flowing out of him. And then somebody came in and said, your wife is in the bedroom and she's crying. I said, what for? She's speaking in tongues. She got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We had Pentecost that night. I said we had Pentecost that night. And you know what? The next day I was disappointed. Why was I disappointed? I didn't get no feeling. I didn't get no glow over my tongue, and I didn't have anybody take a hold of it. Matter of fact, if I'd have stuck my tongue out, I'd probably bit it. It was just kind of like, do you understand what you're saying? Does it sound weird? Why? Because my intellect is hearing it. You can't go by what you see. And so I got in that spray booth. I was a spray painter at that time. I got in that spray booth and I just started screaming out in tongues. I just stayed in tongues. Man, I tell you what, I got so lit up for the kingdom of God, I just couldn't. And I'll never forget, I called Sue and I asked her how she was doing it. Finally, she says, fine, and everything. And I mean about speaking in tongues. She says, yeah, I'm doing it. It was an experience in our life that it's a treasure in my heart. No, I'm not ashamed of speaking in tongues. I over the years, I've seen people argue with me about it. One person, I had to tell him, shut his mouth up. We'll go ahead and get him baptized in the Holy Ghost and he can ask questions afterwards. Some people just don't understand. You do not speak in tongues out of your head. You do not speak in tongues out of a lightning bolt coming and hitting you in the head. You speak out of tongues because you give utterance to what the Holy Spirit in you, baptizing inside of you, gives for you to speak out. And it's by faith. And wouldn't it be nice if you started speaking in tongues and you understood what you were saying? Oh, well, of course, then you know. But the whole purpose of God giving you that language is to keep your intellect out of it. So that He can pray out of your spirit before the Lord. You don't know what you're saying. You can interpret it eventually because the Word tells you that. But the reason I'm sharing all this with you, I want you to understand that one of the things that have helped move doubt and unbelief and doubtful times in my life is for me to put my face to the wall and begin to pray in other tongues. And I'm going to say this very clearly. Praying in other tongues is a language of your human spirit that has been given you by the Holy Spirit. If somebody tells you they've never spoken in tongues, don't believe it. But they believe they're baptized in the Holy Spirit because they get real illuminated when they're praying in their understanding. They are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. The initial evidence of speaking in the Spirit is tongues. Now, in closing, we're going to get into this more next Sunday. I want to get into some very interesting stuff about praying in tongues. People say, well, how do you get the Word of God from here to here? Do you guys want to know how to get the Word of God from here to here? Clunk. Somebody says it goes, clunk. Well, here's how it comes. It doesn't come from here to here. It comes from here to there. To hear. It bypasses the intellect. It comes from the Spirit to the Father and from the Father back through the intellect to the Spirit. How many got that? Now, here's what W. E. Vine said about the word mystery. Well, first of all, Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now you're probably wondering why I didn't use the word unknown. Because it's never there. When you're speaking in a language called tongue, it is not ever referred to an unknown language. When you speak in tongues, it is a language that is known, but it's not known to you. So when they say unknown there, they're referring to it's unknown to you. Your understanding. Are you following me? That's why the translator put unknown there. But really, the word unknown is not there. Why? Because the writer wants you to know that when you're speaking in a tongue, you're not speaking in an unknown tongue. You're speaking in a tongue that literally is communicating to God. And he says, in your spirit, you are speaking mysteries. Because tongues shouldn't be spoken to somebody that you need to communicate with in tongues. Tongues is something you need to communicate to God with. Not man. See. Now, in a move of the Holy Ghost in the years, right up to recently, somebody will be speaking in tongues out of their spirit, and I know they're communicating directly to God, and I'd get in front of them, and all of a sudden there'd be a rush on the inside of me, and I'd end up speaking in tongues right to them, and they'd be speaking in tongues back to me, and we'd have this dialect going on. And I'm sitting there in my head, what in the world is going on here? Who's saying what to who, and what is it about? And we're just getting there, and I'd say a few words in tongues, and I'd stop. She'd say a few words in tongues, and then she'd stop. And then it's like I was answering back, and we got this dialogue going. Some of you might even remember some of the service I've been in when that's happened. And after I said, what in the world's going on here? It's not for you to know. But that person has always come back to me and said, there has been a tremendous change in their life from that point on. Something happened in their inner man. Say. Now here's what Vine says about this word. It comes from some very interesting words I don't want to get into. But the word mysterion, the first part of that word comes from a word called the initiated. So in other words, when you're speaking in that language, it's because you've been initiated to do that. You've been initiated to do that. Then another one is muo, which literally means to initiate into a mystery. To initiate into a mystery. So the word mysterion, when it comes together, it literally is referring to muomai, which literally means I have learned the secret. I have learned a secret. I have learned a secret. W. E. Vine says in the New Testament, it denotes not the mysterious, as with the English word, but that which being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension can be made known only by divine revelation and is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God and to those only who are illuminated by His Spirit. Amen. So in the ordinary sense, a mystery implies knowledge withheld. But its scriptural significance is a truth to be revealed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, are you ready? In closing, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to get a hold of a verse here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And we're going to quit on this scripture. Are you ready? I heard a person talking about the Holy Ghost and was commenting on this verse, and he missed the whole meaning of the verse. Because his focus was the power of God. And not the full understanding of this verse. Here goes. This is Paul speaking. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Or we could put it this way, persuadable words. If they were persuadable words, then somebody could use the language to persuade you. But he's saying here that these words are not the wisdom of a man, but in demonstration, I want you to underline that word demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now here's where you're going to miss it, because you think this verse is always talking about the power of God only. But it has what we call the article. Not only does it have the article, it has the article twice in it. And when that happens, it means that there has to be an explanation, because certain words are different from another word. It's the best way I could explain it to you. Now watch this. The word demonstration here is apoxidias. And here's what that word means. It means not so much the power of God, but it's referring to someone who has a demonstration of his mind having a veil removed from it. In other words, he has a mind that, first of all, is demonstrating a complete, new, fresh revelation or insight of seeing beyond the natural realm. Oh. When I first saw this word, I got to think, now he's got and demonstration of the Spirit and of power, which is dunamis. And the word dunamis is separated from the word demonstration. Because the word demonstration talks about a veil being removed from you so you're not walking in blindness. And the power of God, the dunamis, the achieving ability of God now will work through a man like that. Problem is, we've had people demonstrate the power of God, and yet their own life didn't have a veil lifted over it. They were idiots bringing a reproach to the power of God. Oh, I want you to get a hold of this. Howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Glory to God. God, what is he saying there? He's saying we speak. It is not the word Lego. It is the word Laleo. The word Laleo comes from Glossolalio. And so he's saying that the language that we have used to demonstrate and explain the kingdom of God is a language that doesn't come from the intellect. It comes from the Spirit. A language we talk to God with, and not a man. And that's what chapter 2 is all about. Howbeit the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things. That's not talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the deep things of God. It's your human spirit that searches the deep things of God. That's why a man is not spiritual. He don't desire the deep things of God. How do I get that out of my... When that language of your understanding starts talking, get a language that baffles it. Start speaking in tongues. We're going to stop there. We're going to continue on next Sunday. Stand up, everybody. Okay, I'm going to have to let you guys go. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And Father, as they go their way today, may they be victorious in their language in the name of Jesus.